Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
It is good to see all of you out on this Father's Day. It is a great, fatherhood is a great honor and a great responsibility. And we want to thank all of you, as Pastor Chris said, if you're present in your kids' lives, that's half the battle. that you're there, and that you're there when you're there. That you're available, that you're dialed in, not just on a device, that you're connected, that you're in the moment. And that goes a long, long way. Amen? Anyway, we began our journey this month has been called High Places. That's our theme for the month. And we've been talking about high places, pardon me, being the opportunity to go to elevated positions, to places where you can see vantage points, new perspectives. We've been talking about strategic places. We've talked about the seven mountains of cultural influence, which is that the church is supposed to be seizing the moments to be involved and not void, not apart from science and technology and media and sports and arts and entertainment, all the things that are the cultural influencers. You know, you can often tell the values of a culture by, you can tell the value of anything by the money. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Trevor Lawrence just got a new contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars today for $55 million a year. The highest paid people in America are entertainers, athletes, because that's where our heart is. The lowest paid people are often people that are really working very, very hard and not having and just getting an hourly wage. What I realize is that this, America needs a heart shift. I'm not against, by the way, Trevor Lawrence is a Christian guy, and I hope he does well with his $55 million a year. I hope he plays better. I like Jacksonville a little bit, but the point is that a lot of times we get the cart before the horse, you know, and but we place values on things, and you can see where our treasure is. If you wanted to see what somebody really values, not just what they say they value, if they would open their checkbook to you or show you their credit card bill, you would know immediately what their priorities are. Thank you for that overwhelming response. Anyway, today we're going to get right into the Word of God. Today we're going to talk about His glory revealed. His glory revealed. I want you to open your Bibles to the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word of the living God that's able to change us and save us. Isaiah chapter 60, those of you at home, open your Bible as well. Isaiah 60 verse 1 is where we're going to begin, and I'll kind of break it down a little bit as we move forward. The Bible says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Past tense, it's already come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. This is God talking to His children, His people. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. One translation says gross darkness, because it is so gross. But the Lord will arise over you. Deep darkness cover the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. I want you to grab a hold of that. His glory will be seen upon you. Well, maybe by other Christians recognize it. Well, let's look. It says, the Gentiles, the lost and unreached, shall come to your light, and kings or influencers or leaders to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant or even more glowing. And your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. I want to just kind of break this in and say this one thing. The Bible says that when the darkness gets worse, Don't sit there and curse the darkness and tell everybody how dark it is. Anybody can see how dark it is. Everybody can see how depraved the world has become. The Bible says, switch your light on because the glory of the Lord is already on His people. And that glory will draw lost, unsaved people to God. You see it? I want to weave in John chapter 2. I alluded to it last week. This is at the end of the story of Jesus' first miracle, the marriage of Cana of Galilee. He tells them to bring 6 water pots, fill them up to the brim with water till they're overflowing, and they're transformed into wine, not just wine, but really good wine, the best wine. It says in the New Living, a man steps up and says, a host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you, he says to the host, have kept the best until now. Not the best for last. It's a common saying, the best for now. And then Monday's now. And then Tuesday's now. And then Wednesday's now. You see? It's not just the for last. It's for now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed His glory. Jesus revealed His glory, and His disciples believed in Him that day. Now, what did He do to reveal His glory? The Bible says, this is one of the cool things that I forgot to bring up last week, is that Jesus said, bring me the water pots with the ceremonial hand and foot washing water. Bring me the bath water. And there, I mean, I'd be like, we're going to drink bath water? No, thank you. But here's what it's about. The Bible says Jesus reveals His glory in taking the ordinary bath water. And I said last week, He transforms bath water into Bordeaux. He transforms the ordinary into the extraordinary. He transforms the earthly into the heavenly. He transforms the dirty into the pristine clean. That's what He does. Finally, I want to weave in there Habakkuk 2:14. A great end time promise says this, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. As you can look at a globe and see the oceans, the Bible says the earth is going to be filled, not with the glory, but with the knowledge of the glory. Why is that important? Because the word knowledge there is the word in Hebrew, yada, Y-A-D-A, which means to experience or know something by experience. The knowledge of something is not from a textbook about the glory. The knowledge of something is the experiencing of His glory in tangible ways. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's pray one more time. Thank you, Father, that you transform our head knowledge into heart knowledge by experience. Today we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to do whatever you want to do as we sang earlier. And we just say, come and sit among us and let this place be filled with the glory of God. Let us each carry that glory to wherever we go this afternoon in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. We're talking about going to the high places. Last week we talked about occupying influential places and positions. We said that God has a divine purpose for every believer, both in the church and toward outsiders out in the world. You have a servant leadership position here, and you have a servant leadership position everywhere you go from here. That's part of what being a Christian is. We must have a strategic shift from religiously maintaining just by coming to church into conquering by getting out there to the world and becoming the church. Becoming the church. The word church, the ecclesia in the New Testament, was never designed to be a word of a noun alone, like the place we come to. We came to church. That's not the word church. When Jesus first uses it in Matthew chapter 16, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That word church is a verb. It is an action word. It is a word that means that wherever we go, we're carrying Jesus with us. Amen. We need to change our mindset. Today we're talking about the glory of the Lord. That's a term commonly used in Christian circles and when we read the Bible, but rarely do we really understand it or fully realize what it means to us and what it means to other people. The glory of God, if you, in some circles, in traditional church, you might have the glory of God talked about, and you would have a reverential awe, but that reverential awe is you got to be quiet and whisper and be careful with it. But the reality of the glory of the Lord is it is an experience with the presence, person, and power of God. It is to know Him by intimate knowledge. It is to experience Him and have relationship, not just little religious rituals and little doodads and little signs and you do this here and you do that there. And no. It's not about genuflecting. It's not about, if you notice in our church, we don't have crosses. I'm not against the cross. I am pro cross. Let me tell you something. A lot of people, when they worship, they look at an object. The whole thing about don't worship idols is don't have any objects you're looking at, because God doesn't want to be seen in an idol or an object. He wants to be seen and experienced in the relationship of His invisible presence that manifests in a way we can still know it. Yes. Amen. Amen. Like somebody says, I don't know. One time I was preaching in Iceland in a high school, secular high school, and these, bully kids came up to me, these high school students, and they started asking me stuff like atheistic hard questions and things. They're trying to just mess with me. And the one guy says, how can you believe in something that you don't see or touch? And the Lord just drops it. And I said, are you breathing? He goes, yeah. I said, do you see the air you're breathing? No. Do you touch it? No. Do you believe in it? Yes. Why? Because you feel the effects of it every time that you take a breath. And they walked away, by the way. they weren't too happy with me. They walked away and they actually came back and talked to me later and wanted to debate me and stuff. But it was really interesting how God will drop in something in your spirit. You don't have to, everything's not empirical. You can't touch everything. We all have stuff we every time you eat at a restaurant, you're believing that the chef's hands were clean. You don't know unless you followed him to the bathroom. You see the sign in there, employees must wash their hands. Why do they have the sign? Just saying. You sat down in a chair today with four legs. You didn't check it, measure the legs, make sure the screws were tied in. You just sat down with your full weight on it because your experience has led you to believe that if you sit in that chair, it's going to hold you up. Are you getting that? So there's certain things we still have to believe in when even people that say they don't have any faith, which is silly. So we want to experience God. So the Bible says in Isaiah 60 that His glory will be seen upon you. That when the darkness is out there, when the perversion and the filth and all the junk starts to saturate a community or a culture or a nation or even the world as it is today, don't be afraid and don't sit there and tell everybody, look at all that darkness. The Bible says, flip on your switch. Arise, shine. Your light has already come if you just turn it on. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and that glory will be seen upon you. It will be attractive. It will be discernible. It will be tangible, not just to other Christians. The Bible says, Gentiles, lost and unreached people, will see something on your life of His glory, and they will be drawn to it. And even leaders, even if you think that sharing Christ is about just going to share with the down and outers, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of lost up and outers. Leaders, kings, the Bible calls them kings, that are leaders and community leaders and aware. They need Christ just as much as a homeless person, right? But we have this idea sometimes in our head, outreach is just one thing. No, it's everything. Every time you walk out of these doors, every time you drive off of this property, you are witnesses now. You are witnesses. You are empowered in your neighborhood. You are empowered when you go to the doctor's office. You're empowered when you're at Publix or even if you shop at Winn-Dixie. You are empowered. Every place you go where the soles of your feet will tread becomes a high place because he's in you and his glory is on you. It will be attractive and cause us to have influence with influential people. Say amen. Two primary words in the Old Testament for glory. In the Hebrew, the word hod, H-O-D. Hod means, is like the God revealing his glory to plants and animals. It's anything besides humans. God's glory still shows up. How many know animals still know that God is God? They don't reckon, they don't necessarily know everything in their head, but they know because of the hod, the presence of God in nature. Chavad or chabad is the other word, the primary word for glory. It's in the Hebrew, chavad or chabad. It means to be weighty, heavy, or thick with everything of God's goodness. It's this heavy weight. And listen, nobody could tell me that God isn't real, even bullies in a high school class trying to come and debate. Why? Because I've already experienced so much. I know that I know that I know that I know he's alive. And I know that I know that I know he's real. Why? Because my inward man knows him and recognizes him and experiences him. And there are times when I feel that weight of his presence just settling down on me. I wish I could tell you that all manifestations of the glory of God are equal, but they're not. And I'll tell you a little secret here that I'll share a little bit more next week. But the reality is that the glory of God, the tangible manifested presence, is greater on the mountaintop and in the valley than it is in between. Amen. When you're just going through daily life, the glory's around you, but you often don't recognize it. But when you're elevated to a certain place, you have to have that glory on you. And when you're down in the valley, the promise of God is this, that the sufferings of this present time, Romans 8 says, are nothing compared with the glory shall be revealed in us. Right now, if you're going through a mountaintop, praise God. But if you're going through a valley, praise God anyway and find the glory because he is near to those of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. His glory is closer to you than you think. Just grab it. Because he will be there in loss. He will be there in failure. And he will manifest his presence to grab you and hold you when you can't hold yourself. To be weighty, heavy, or thick with God's goodness. I love that we call the Holy Spirit the comforter in the Bible. The comforter. Because sometimes what I think of when somebody's going through grief is a warm blanket of God just surrounding them and just warming them up. Just holding on to them. It will be attractive and it will cause people to come. It is there's another word besides hod and kavod. That's the word Shekinah. So if you've been to Spirit-filled churches, you hear people talking about the Shekinah glory. That's actually not an original Old Testament word. It's not in the Bible. It is in rabbinical teachings about the Bible where Solomon dedicates the temple and they walk into this chabad, but the Shekinah presence overwhelms them so much. The Bible says the priests couldn't stand. They were all knocked to the floor. And they were like glued to the floor. That's Shekinah. But that's really a descriptive word of the Chabad of God. Some of you have heard the name Ichabod. Remember the legendary ride of Ichabod Crane? It's an old poem. Ichabod in the Bible, they said, God says, name that kid Ichabod. It means the glory has departed. The glory has departed. We don't want to be an icky bod. We want to be the right bod, right? We want to be the glory of God bod. Anyway, the Bible says that the Shekinah, what the teachings of the rabbis talk about is this tangible splendor. Tangible splendor. That this majestic presence of the King of the universe is with you. I sense the presence of God just kind of fell. A tangible splendor. It is a discernible manifested presence. In other words, you can't see it with your eyes, but you can know it. You can feel it, but not with your emotions. You can feel it sometimes on your body, but it's not a goosebump. You may get a goosebump, But the goosebump isn't the glory. The shiver isn't the glory. There's sometimes your body will have a reaction. I've seen people go through deliverance from demons and begin to laugh or cry. I've seen people delivered from demonic power and sneeze a few times. There's a tangible, the body, it processes what's going on in different ways. Now, you know, say, well, I sneezed last week and it wasn't the glory. It was, you know, some of you think it's the glory, but it's not. Sorry. Anyway. The glory can be experienced. Then you can distribute it or spread it around. It's like the word atomizer. The word atomizer, like your perfume where it sprays out, it's an atomizer. An atomizer is anything that takes something in liquid form and puts it into vaporous particles to disseminate it. That's what an atomizer is. You ever walked into Macy's or Dillard's and you walk through the perfume counter and there's somebody right up there say, hey, would you like to try this? And they used to spritz it in your face. Now they at least put it on a little card and wave it around your nose. They stick it up your nose. But anyway, that's an atomizer. It diffuses. And you know, remember Jesus said, you as a believer will have rivers of living water that'll flow out of your innermost being. But you can't drown people with the living water that's inside of you. It'll overwhelm them. But what you are is, Paul writes in Corinthians, you, through the power of God, through the glory of God, will diffuse his fragrance in every place. You are the spritz of the Holy Spirit in a tangible way that lost people that will recognize something about it that's God. Are you? I hope you're getting this today. I hope you're getting this at home. This is a fundamental part of the Christian faith that nobody talks about. We talk about being witnesses and going witnessing as if we're supposed to beat people over the head with our stories or our Bible. I'm all for being a witness. I'm all for preaching the gospel everywhere you go. But I like what Augustine said many centuries ago. Preach the gospel everywhere. When necessary, use words. Great old statement I learned in cemetery training. Anyway, experience his glory, then you can distribute it. You can only give out what's inside of you. The problem is we have rivers of living water. Of this Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, but in that way, you will overwhelm people if you just get out there and you start telling them about the miracles and things you've seen or experienced or the way you felt God and you had a goosebump, whatever else. The glory of God is tangible, recognizable, but it's not spooky. I don't know if you've ever been around Christians that made the presence of God seem real spooky. You know, they have a weird look in their eye when you talk to them. Ooh, I was at church yesterday, and we felt the glory of God. Okay, but can you make lunch? You know, people get real spooky with stuff. The tangible manifest presence of God is normal, natural, and should become part of your everyday life, just in a way that you spritz it, that you don't overwhelm people with it. But you can only spritz what's inside of you. And so some of you are spritzing how dark everything is, because that's what everybody's talking about at the water cooler. Listen, on your job, when you go to work, you can spritz the glory by just not participating in some of the ugliness at times. The water cooler talk of everybody going, well, it's Monday. I hate Mondays. Friday can't come soon enough. Why? You're just trying to take everything from your place of work, take money so you can go party up on the weekend? That's not life. That's stupidity. You're a carrier. You're working for a purpose. You're working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's empowering you to get out there and conquer some stuff. And part of your challenge is to get out there and conquer it the right way and carry the glory. I'll talk more about next week, but carry the glory in the right way. When Moses experienced little tastes of God's glory, by little tastes, think about these little tastes, a burning bush, 10 plagues were, they were delivered supernaturally. Supernatural favor, where the Egyptians started giving their gold and silver and other valuables to the Israelites that they hated and enslaved for 400 years and asked them to leave. A cloud by day, a fire by night. The manifested presence of Yahweh on Mount Sinai. Moses had all these things. He experienced more glory than most anybody else, certainly up to the in the Bible up to that point. Certainly in the Bible up to that point. He experienced more glory, and yet he has a conversation with God because it made him hungry for more. It made him hungry for more, and it should be the same for us. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. What does that mean? It means he can be experienced in real ways. You can taste him. Like when I was preparing this message this week, I felt like a chef preparing a tomahawk steak and marinating it on Tuesday and Wednesday, preparing the baked potatoes yesterday, get everything ready with corn on the cob with lots of butter. I felt like I was bringing in a... We're done with service. Sir, I got to get home for lunch. No, I felt like I was preparing something that if you would come in open enough, you would be tasting this glory with me. That you'd be tasting the Word of God. That you'd be tasting the presence, tasting the power of God, experiencing it in a real way. That's what I felt. And listen, when you go to a restaurant and you get that, you cut that tomahawk steak or whatever it is you can handle, and you open up, you take that first bite, like a perfect bite at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse or Capitol Grill, for a perfect bite. Seasoned right, doesn't need salt or pepper. You don't go, like you do when you come to church. When you get steak and mashed potatoes or baked potatoes, when you get the best thing, that is. And what do? Taste this. You ordered the wrong thing, honey. You need a bite of what I'm having. Taste this. The Bible says that's what we are to the world. That we're giving them a taste of what we've tasted, what we've eaten. So compelling is the presence of God that in Exodus 33, verse 15, Moses and God are having a conversation, and God's conversation is something like this. This is before he sends the spies in the land in Numbers and all that stuff. End of Exodus. He says, God says, you know, Moses, I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to take all of y'all to the promised land, but when you get there, I'm going to lift my presence and not be with you. I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to send you across the Jordan, and you're going to experience it for yourself, but I'm out. And Moses says this in verse 15, Exodus 33. If your presence does not go with us, then don't bring us up from here. Amen. God says, I'll give you all the stuff I promised. Moses said, I've seen all the stuff you promised. It's great. But I've tasted your presence. And that's what it's really about. I don't want all your stuff if I can't have you. If I can't have you. I don't want nobody, baby, if I can't have you. Sorry, I'm going back to Saturday Night Fever days for me and Joseph Roberts. Remember. If I can't have you, God, I don't want anything else. If your presence doesn't go, I ain't going. And then this man who had seen all these miracles and all these experiences, all this glory, continues the conversation. The Lord says to him, okay, I'll do it. And verse 18, Moses said, please show me your glory. Show me your glory. He said, I want the fullness. I want to fully immerse myself in experiencing you. And God said, okay, You want to know what my glory is like? Basically, you see it in the next chapter. I don't have that in my notes. But in the next chapter, when God does it, the Bible says God took Moses, put him in the cleft of a rock, and said, "Look, if you see my face, you're gonna as a human being, you cannot look into the sun, and God's glory is brighter than the sun." He said, "You can't. No one can see my face and live. You can't survive. You'd be instantly collapsed. You can't do it." But God says, "I'm going to hide you in this rock, and I'm going to pass by with the elements of my glory. And you can see them, and you can see," literally the next chapter says, "the afterglow. You can see when I've walked by. You can look at the back of my head, but you can't see my face and live." And when he describes this experience, here's what he says. Verse 19, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." In other words, I will proclaim my integrity, that I'm a God of my word, that my word is my bond. "I will be gracious," or "show grace to whom I'll show grace, and I'll have compassion," or "mercy on whom I will have compassion." Years ago, I was kind of contemplating, because I'd seen so much coming up in a church where I was the youth pastor in Orlando, 35 years ago or so, and I was in with a healing ministry, and we saw stuff all the time, and it was awesome, and it was supernatural, it was very powerful, but I realized that, Jesus said, "Don't cast your pearls before swine," "your swirls before pine." That would be a good joke. "Don't cast your pearls before swine" means don't put jewelry on pigs. Don't give someone something they can't handle. So you can choke them. Don't cast your squirrels before pine trees. Anyway, unless you're nuts. Anyway, so basically, I was, when I got this word, this thought many, many years ago about the glory of God, the elements of the glory, I was just contemplating, so what is it people see? If a lost, unsaved person sees God on me and sees his glory on me, what do they see? Like, what do they recognize? That's God. That's the glory of God. That's the presence of God on me. And I realized, because in those days, we would see, you think about the glory of God, and you have these dramatic stories in the Old Testament of lightning and fire and wind and earthquakes and all these things. And I realized, if you're in the grocery store and the glory of God is on you, it doesn't mean, if you walk down the soup aisle and lightning shot out of your hands and hit the tomato soup, the average unsaved person is not going to go, "That's God. Wow." They're going to go, "Somebody call for cleanup on aisle 4, They're not going to recognize it. So what my thought process and what I've worked through on this revelation years ago is, okay, God, so if they see the glory, if unsaved people can recognize the glory of God on my life and on the life of everybody in our church, what do they see? What do they see? What are the practical elements of the glory of God? His goodness on you. The power of his mighty name, his integrity and reputation. His word is his bond to you. His grace to you. His mercy and loving kindness to you. That's what's revealed. And these things are revealed through intimacy with him. God said to Abraham, "I am your exceedingly great reward." He said to Moses, when Moses said, "What is your name? Who should I tell him sent me?" He said, "I am." And when he did, he overwhelmed him with a revelation of the glory. And he saw it and felt it. My friends, you are God's billboard. You are God's billboard. You have to experience his goodness, grace, and mercy and the power of his name for yourself, because that's what you're carrying to the world, and you're taking the living water and atomizing it, diffusing it into a mist or a vapor where somebody can go, "What's that smell?" That smells like God. It smells like heaven to me. You're God's billboard. A couple of scriptures in Ephesians will demonstrate what I'm talking about. Ephesians 1:19 from the Passion Translation. This is one of Paul's prayers, and I love this the way it's put. Paul says, verse 19, I pray that you will continually experience. See, it's not just head knowledge. It's not college knowledge. It's experience knowledge. I know him. You can't talk me out of it. Paul says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. My friends, if you think about it for a moment, what is the biggest turn off to the world about God? Religion. Religion is a turnoff, isn't it? I was raised in church all my life and I hated religion. I'm a pastor and people go on tilt when I say, but I'm not religious. What does that mean? You go to church on Sunday? Oh yeah, I go to church. But I don't just do it out of rote. I don't do it out of habit alone. I don't do it out of obligation. I do it out of revelation. I want to be there even before I was, way before I was a pastor. I wanted to be there because when I saw and experienced the glory, I just wanted more. Religion is a turnoff to most folks, but the Bible says his true glory draws people. It draws unsaved. It draws up and outers and down and outers. It draws them. It draws them. I love Ephesians 2 goes on to continue this thought in the Amplified, verse 7. The Bible says, he did this, seated us together with him in heavenly places. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, in his kindness and goodness of his heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Folks, in other words, when God wants to reveal himself, he provides a demonstration. Look at that word. Demonstration. Demon castration. Demonstration. He provides an example. Just like somebody called me recently and asked me if I would go to a car dealership to help them figure out what they're going to do. It ends up with their lease. It's a family member. Said, I want to end my lease, and I want to maybe probably buy the lease out. And I thought about it, and I said, well, you know, I haven't been to a car dealership in 20 years. I just do three-year leases, and the next one comes up, and you just do it online now. You don't have to. You have to go through all the hoops. The old way was, we get you in with a coupon or a key or some kind of mailer or something to get you in the door, and then we get you to a demonstration. If I can get you to test drive, if I can get you to test drive the car, we are 80% home. Why? Now you'll sit there for 8 hours while they're haggling over, well, the boss says this, and you got to jump through that hoop, and we thought this, and we'll just check your credit. It'll only be 5 minutes. And we all knew it was a lie. We got car dealers in our church, and I love you, and I bless you, but the ones in our church don't have to lie. But what is it about the demonstration? See, if I can get you to test drive, you're going to fall in love and realize what a piece of garbage you're already driving. Are you going to think, you even if you drove in loving your old car, now you're going like, oh, my old car doesn't have this. My old car doesn't have that. Now they got to get you to, from the demonstration into the activation point in the sweatshop, in the office. They're going to sweat you now. And we're going to give you the best deal. And, I'm for you. The finance guy. I got to deal with the finance guy. I got to deal with the manager. My friends, you are the test drive of the Christian faith for people you come in contact with this week. You're the test drive. You're the demonstration model. You're out there. And it's not like they're looking for you to be perfect. They're just looking to experience something of God on you. You're his ad campaign to display his glory. That's what the word says. The Shekinah, the cloud by day, the fire by night. Presence so thick at the dedication of Solomon's temple, priests were knocked to the ground and were glued to the floor. But would unsaved people recognize that as God's glory? I don't think so. Acts 10:38, I'm almost done, says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about, love this, doing good and healing all. Doing good and healing all. Doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The Message Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. Ready for action. I love that. Ready for action. It's in the Bible, in the Message version. My friends, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is about when you do something good. Now, I'm not talking about just Boy Scout walking somebody across the street, although that too. But I'm talking about anything you do to carry him in the proper light of his goodness. When it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth who went about doing good, the word doing good there means literally bestowing benefits. Giving out the benefits of God. Giving out the benefits of salvation. Giving out the benefits. When you become a distributor, a spritzer, atomizer of the hope that's in you, people feel the hope. And faith becomes the object, the manifestation of things you hope for. Faith begins with hope. Faith is the target, the bullseye for hope. When you get out there and distribute hope, you're distributing his glory. A couple more things and I'm done. There's supposed to be a supernatural dimension to the life of every believer. There's supposed to be a supernatural aspect, or it's not authentic. Now, there are whole denominations that don't believe in the supernatural, but they believe in salvation. So listen, to be saved is a supernatural act, but a lot of churches, then they put away the supernatural for everything else. Healing, deliverance, helping people with the presence and power of God, distributing benefits. The point is that when you're out there, you've got to bring forth his goodness. That's what God's glory looks like when it's seen on you, when it's seen when you're at home or at work or in your neighborhood or your school or out there in the community. What does the God's glory look like? When the world gets darker, they're looking for his goodness, his grace, his mercy working in your life for your benefit. It doesn't mean you have the perfect life. I don't think people are looking for the perfect life. I think they're looking for a life that actually works. I think they're looking for perfection. I don't think they're looking for freedom from pain or freedom from failure, because everybody goes through that. That's called life. The difference for us is not how we go through, but the difference is how we carry what we go through and what happens on the other side. Listen to me. It's about how you handle it. God's promise is, write this down, optimum yield, best possible. Optimum yield, best possible. When the economy fell in 2008 and the whole world went through an economic collapse, everybody felt it, including Christians. But we found our optimum yield and the best possible results because we threw our lot in with the glory of God. And his glory on us said, people said, hey, how did you make it through that? Because God was with us. And we glorify him. It's not just all about everything perfect happening. No, that's not real. Life is messy sometimes. How many know that? But the promise of God is the best possible outcome in that moment, in that time. God guarantees the best possible optimum yield for everything you're going through. And I say to anybody, if you're going through a dark time right now, you're going through a loss, you're going through a failure, you're going through a mess, you're going through a painful, challenging time, keep your eyes, because they say that at the end of the tunnel, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. That light is the glory. That light is beckoning you to take another step forward today and another step and another step and not give up. And people see that. They see the glory on you and they go, wow, you didn't quit. How did you make it through that? A lesser person would have just backed away. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I got to finish. Quit hiding your blessings under a bushel basket. People set their hearts on the blessings and forget the blesser. When I'm preaching on God's goodness to you, I'm not preaching materialism. I'm not preaching mammon. That's an idol. That's a spiritual force of darkness. What I'm preaching to you is that the best possible outcome is guaranteed to you. And God says, remember the Lord when you come into a season of tough times or you come into a season of abundance. Remember, it is God. Quit hiding your blessings under a bushel basket. A lamp goes on a table, Jesus said. That's why I made you a lamp. Some people only trust in God when they see how faithful He has been to take care of you in whatever you're going through right now. Is your life accurately displaying His glory? Because you have influence, but you got to be a good manager of His goodness. You got to be a manager of His resources, or you won't have much influence when you need it. It's time to rise to high places and shine like never before of the goodness of God working in your life. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we're so grateful. So thankful for your mercy, which means that we don't get all the bad things we do deserve by our own wickedness. And your grace, which means that we get all the benefits that we actually don't deserve because of what Jesus has done. Lord, we thank you for strengthening the body of Christ. Come show your glory. Lord, we love your benefits. We love the blessings. We love that. But Lord, we're not in it just for what we can get out of you. We worship you and we honor you and we thank you for your glory. Show your glory to your children and through your children to everyone around us. Help us to be who you've called us to be. I pray for that person right now who's going through a really dark time. And I pray light over you. I pray that the glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of the Lord, will rise in you today and rise upon you today. I break that discouragement. I break that depression. I command that hopelessness and despair to die and break off of you in Jesus' name. As we sang earlier, I see coming back to life all of the goodness of God and the investment of heaven upon your life. We break every lie of the enemy and every accusation against you. We break the haters out there that have spoken words that have tried to bring you down. Rise up. Rise up and be who God has called you to be. Speak His words. Speak His life. Be out there and spritz on the people around you that mist of the presence of the difference maker. You win. Lord, elevate your people to high places. Thank you for promotions and raises, bonuses and benefits. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities at work every place we go. Thank you that we shine every place we go, that some don't like that shine because it reflects in their eyes and they squint. But Lord, there are others that see that light on us, and Lord, just let that light elevate us, that presence of God, that tangible manifestation of your presence. Elevate us, Lord. Someone's just been through a demotion. You've been put down. I don't know if it's on your job or at school or something. You've been held back or put down is what I get in my spirit. And I just feel like the Lord is saying to you today, rise up in being encouraged today, because God is about to take that very area where you've been put down, and He's actually going to put you up over the people that threw you down. Someone is in your way over you for promotion. You've been promised promotion for a while. They've been in your way and they're not a godly person, I'll put it that way, I feel like God's saying, just watch over these next few months. That person is about to step into their own pit and remove themselves from blocking you. And God is going to elevate you with his glory. Honor him as he does. His glory heals. His glory saves. His glory sets free. If you don't know Jesus, I challenge you to open your heart today, because the first step, the first splash of glory is that moment of salvation when you say, Jesus, I want to know you. Come into my heart. Change me. Forgive me of my sin. I repent for just doing it my way. And I give you my life. If you'll do that today, I see it coming back to life. I see it coming back to life. I see it coming back to life.
I see it coming back to life. I see it coming back to life.
Just keep your eyes closed just for another moment.
Yeah.
Pastor Lindsay, declare.
I see it coming back to life.
Yep.
I see it coming back to life.
Yep.
We're gonna see it rise up. Gonna see it rise up.
Yes.
Gonna see it rise up.
If you'll do that today, if you'll surrender your heart to him, you don't have to come to the altar. You don't have to come to the front. This is not a show. This is about you and God right where you are, in a place of real. Get real and surrender to him in Jesus' name. Did you enjoy that tomahawk steak today? Did you enjoy it? Did you get it? Did you taste it? Did you get it? I'll put burgers on the grill sometimes. I like burgers and hot dogs. But sometimes you just need steak from the Word to eat it up. How many going home full today? Yeah, there you go. Those of you at home, you shouldn't have been here, but hopefully some of you are eating while you're watching. Anyway, that's how you have it. Anyway, we made you really hungry.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.